Welcome to Speaking of Grace, the weekly message podcast from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida. We're a multi-ethnic, multicultural, and multi-generational congregation committed to our mission of loving people into a lifelong friendship with God. We are committed to our vision of being a church without walls, fully engaged in serving the people of our community. Thank you for joining us as we continue Speaking of Grace.
Thank you for the amazing music ministry today. And let me affirm the GCA Orchestra. Thank you again for your outstanding gift that you've showcased and used to God's glory on this day. All of our musicians, we certainly value and appreciate who you are and what you've done for us today. Pastor Ken, thank you so much for the kind fellowship and wonderful hosting since our early service today and the opportunity you gave me to partner with you for the podcast here today as well. And to our First Lady and your son, beautiful family. I believe there's more to your family, is there not? One more? Daughter in college. Okay, you all look like teenagers. I don't know how that's possible. I also want to appreciate my dear friend, Dr. Joseph Gosen, for outstanding leadership you provide our university, and congratulations to all of our, to the class of 2024 for Advent Health University. We celebrate you. To our board of trustees, Dr. Randy Hafner, who was here earlier today, we want to affirm him just in case he's watching online, and Dr. Audrey Gregory, our commencement speaker, we certainly affirm you as well, and we look forward to a wonderful commencement day on Monday. This is a real honor. I wondered what I would say to our graduating class today and to this wonderful congregation. You all are just amazing. And the earlier group that came, maybe there are some repeats. We certainly appreciate the kindness and the warmth that you've extended to me. And I'm very, very honored to be your speaker for this Sabbath morning. I'd like you to turn, if you can, to the first chapter, 1 Corinthians. I'd like us to consider verses 17 through 25 in our mind's eye, in our hearts. I'm not going to read it in interest of our time, but the implication of that is clear and succinct. It says, the weakness of God, that's the implication, is stronger than the strength of men. That's good news, folks. You know that's good news. God at his weakest, my dear brother, is stronger than God at his strongest. My dear sister, God in his most vulnerable moment is wiser than all the wise men and women put together in their wisest moment. I'd like to illustrate the use of power God's way through the power of the cross. You know, in Paul's day, when he wrote this passage, it was a time when might was right, simply meaning the strong prevailed, the rich controlled, the influential had power. Those with degrees, those with education, dominated. It was inconceivable to the powerful, influential people of Paul's day. It was inconceivable, church, for them to ever make themselves vulnerable. Why? They liked their power. They possessed their power. They caressed their power. They amassed their power. They worshiped their power. As a matter of fact, they had no thought of ever getting rid of that power. The Romans would rule for some 400 years. The Greeks before them would rule some 300 years. The Persians before them would rule some 200 years. The Babylonians before them would rule approximately 250 years. In Paul's day, when folks had power, they kept the power. Please don't think it's a whole lot different this afternoon. I'm wondering, can I get a witness on that? Most folk who I know, when they have it, they're keeping it. That's why I've never, ever believed in this concept called trickle-down economics. I've never seen anybody I know benefiting from it trickling down yet. Most folks, when they have it, they keep it. They possess it. They grow it. They protect it. They pass laws to see that you never get it. Come on and talk to me, somebody. Inconceivable. In Paul's day, yea, in our day, when you've got it, you let it go. And so in Paul's time, to make yourself weak was foolishness. It was a time of slaves and masters. The few had much and the many had little. That world could not relate to a God that would make himself powerless in order to win. I'm talking about the power of the cross. Inconceivable. Beyond thought that any God would do such a thing. In Paul's day, people sacrificed to their gods. No one ever heard of a God sacrificing himself to his people. It was inconceivable that a God would sacrifice himself for his people. What I'm suggesting to you this afternoon is, and it might not make the most sense on the front end, the intellectual concept of the cross really defies all human thinking. You don't just spread yourself out and get into the boxing ring with Ryan Garcia tonight or Devin Haney tonight. You all don't know that. Let me go back in time. Cassius Clay or Muhammad Ali. I'm just trying to make sure that I connect with everybody here today. You don't tie your hands and get in the ring with a prize fighter. Somebody is going to get knocked out, and it probably will not be the prize fighter. It's going to be fist city and glove swinging, yes, because you don't fight with your hands tied. So the cross really is foolishness for two reasons. Number one, it does not harmonize with the way people keep power. And number two, you don't expect to win when you can't fight. But the cross is also foolishness for another reason. Have you ever read Genesis, the first chapter? I have. Let me tell you what I see when I read it. Every time I read it, I see it over and over again. I see there a mighty God. I see there a powerful God. I see there a God who speaks. And life and light appear. I see a God who talks. And air appears. A little bit more on my monitors, please. I see a God who speaks and plants come up out of nowhere. I don't know what you call that, folk. I call that power. I see a God who can tickle the belly of the Red Sea. And it stands up on his tiptoes until he stops tickling. That's a God of power. It really doesn't make sense to me. This thing really moves me, nevertheless. It really doesn't make sense to have that kind of power and then make yourself vulnerable. Just go on. And I think about this every time I do public evangelism. And I want people to come across the line and accept Jesus. And I get impatient. Sometimes I forget and I think it's about me. Just go on and make them be saved, Lord. Make them be good. Make them stop smoking and drinking and carousing. Just go on and make them, God. Don't fool with their hard, stiff necks. Just make them. You've got the power. Use it. You know, the cross is really foolishness for a God with that kind of power to make himself vulnerable. Why am I saying that? Because I have evidence where he used it once. You can go to Revelation, the 12th chapter, and you can read about God's use of his power. He knows how to use power. In Revelation 12, and as I start in my mind's eye, around verse 7, the Bible declares clearly and succinctly, there was war in heaven. Michael and the commentaries agree that was Jesus and his angels fought against the dragon. That was the devil. And the dragon and his angels fought back. But here's the part I like. But the Bible says he was not strong enough. How come you all didn't say amen when I said that part? No, really. The devil whipping your head every day. I'm glad to read a text that says somewhere that he was not strong enough. Sometime. Let me say one more time and give us another shot. He was not strong enough. You know, I'm glad to know sometimes the devil can be weak. He was not strong enough. And the Bible is clear. They lost their place in heaven. God, after showing some mercy. God, after showing some grace. God, after showing some patience, he kicked the rascal out. Didn't he do it? You know, I've always tried to imagine how that fight was. You know, my mind goes back. I'm wondering, you know, maybe I, you know, see, I'm really old, by the way. You all are young and good looking, and you need to be standing where I'm standing just to take a look at you all. You all look great. You see, I'm as old as dirt. I really am. But I have dye in my beard and my hair, so it makes me look young. But I'm really old. I'm really old. So I go back in time. I used to watch science fiction. You know, so I can date myself right now. See, you all are too young to remember this. I used to watch programs on television like The Outer Limits, One Step Beyond, The Twilight Zone, Alfred Hitchcock. I used to watch these things and often wondered, how did that fight really happen in heaven? How did it unfold? I wondered if they had actual swords or whether they fought each other with thought bolts, you know, thought bolts from the mind. My mind gets carried away. I try to picture that thing, but one thing is clear. God had power, and he used it. So the cross is foolishness because we have an example, hear me clearly, not only of a creating God calling something out of nothing, but a God who had power, used his power. I have demonstration and evidence for that, and also dominated. So why then? Good question. Why, when my salvation is at stake, are you fooling around God? Get off the cross. Just knock them on the head. You know, the power of the cross, when I think about it, it really doesn't line up. He's got the power. I mean, he can outfight angels. If he thinks, watch this, if he thinks too hard, an angel appears. The winds obey his will. And Isaiah 7:14, he started teasing the devil. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son. Now, you know the devil read that text. He was looking over Isaiah's shoulder when he wrote. I can hear him as he says, all right, you guys, we got a clue. Watch all the virgins, you all. And I see the evil angels, you know, just fanning out over the whole planet. He's not going to slip anything in on us. But the devil could not conceive. I'm sure the devil expected that when Jesus would be born, he'd be born a king. Come on now. He'd be born in the White House. They were looking for him to come in a regal way. Who had their minds on Bethlehem? Who had their minds on a manger? Who had their minds on an ordinary person riding a donkey married to an ordinary carpenter? Who had their minds on that? What I'm suggesting to you right now is simple. God does not operate the way we operate. Hear me, I'm not trying to be rude, but you give us a degree, you give us a position, you put an extra zero or two behind our salaries, and we try to overpower. But God overwhelms with his love. When we're arguing, God is quiet. When we're upset, God is calm. When we're planning how we're going to get folks back, God just allows love to do its work. And so we slipped in just when the devil was looking one way. He comes up small, a little baby, chubby and helpless, unable. I mean, a human baby can't even raise his own head, you all. How in the world is that going to be my savior? Ah, but Isaiah said his shoulders might be soft. They might be round, but the government shall be on his shoulders. He might be a little baby who can't talk, but he's the Prince of Peace. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. Thank you, Jesus. Just wrapped up in a little baby's form. Jesus was already doing it to the devil. Somebody say amen out there. Oh, yes. Just crying and waving his little fat fist. And kicking those little fat heels. The devil is scared to death. You got to get a good feeling down inside. What in the world are we going to do about this baby? How are we going to fix him? And they dogged him. The record is clear for 33 and a half years. Worked on him. Frustrated him. Made him hungry, tired, and afflicted. As a matter of fact, even his own friends forsook him and fled. He never said a mumbling word. I said this morning early, now don't mess with me that way. Please. I'll say more than a word. I'll tell you right now. I'm not trying to be too flip, but don't test. I know I'm your union president. Forget all of that. But do not test my Christianity. And if you're streaming, just edit that point out. Just edit it out. Don't tell on me, please. But I'm telling you right now, I ain't there yet. I've got to confess before God I'm not there. So here's what I'm really trying to say. Be glad I'm not your savior. I would have blown it the first time you spat in my face. It would be the last spit that you spat. But see, watch this, folks. Watch this. Listen to me. The reason why we react that way is because we are fundamentally insecure. That's how we're wired. As human beings, we're insecure. But when you know who you are, and when you know where you came from, and you know that all power is in your hands, you don't have to show off. You know you've got it when you need it. Just take it easy. Thank you, Jesus. He was able to lay back and lay low and be cool at the cross. He cried out in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if there be any possible way, please give me another route. Take this thing from me. And the Father made it clear, hey, son, there is no other way. Why? They must be saved by love. Not by overwhelming power, but by overwhelming, inexpressible, unexplainable love. All the unfallen worlds were there. They couldn't imagine it. King of kings, Lord of lords, captain of the Lord's host, second person of the Godhead. They couldn't imagine it. That's why Judas betrayed him. Judas could never believe that Jesus was going to fight that way. And in those moments, if Jesus had just gotten slightly angry, all around him, hands would have withered. Knees would have gone limp. The soldiers' spears would have bent against his side. I hope you're hearing me, but he said, this is the way it must be. This is the price it must be. I've got to show Ron Smith. It's not in might. It's in right. It's not in might. It's in doing what God says. It's not by power, not by fussing, not by worrying, but by trusting in God. I've got to show Ron how to do it. Sometimes when you get messed on and talked about and played with, sometimes when you get upset because of life's battering vicissitudes, I've got to show you that when you're innocent as Jesus is, you can take it. So surely when you're guilty, you ought to take it. So he hung there. He could have just pulled off a major production that day. They challenged him. If you're God, pull your hands out. Like Bob Barker or The Price is Right, Hugh Carey, they could have said, if you're God, then come on down. He could have done it. He could have just snatched his hands out of those nails. Talk about special effects. Jesus could have pulled off a major production that day. He could have just snatched his hands from the cross with the nails still in his palms. He could have just stopped the bleeding. He could have just allowed the soldier to put the spear in his side, then close up the cut right after that and make those around him confoundingly stupid. But he took it. Why? Because Ron must understand that sin costs. As a matter of fact, it costs so much, Ron, that when one day your body can't get sick because I've made it new, when one day your clothes don't wear out because you've got a white robe woven in the looms of heaven, when one day you don't need new shoes because they're shiny gold, brand new every day, when one day you have no need of anything, in that day, Ron, you'll be perfect in a body that has no marks on it. But I'll still have holes in my hand and holes in my feet, and a hole in my side. Everything is going to be hunky-dory except me, Ron. That's what your sin costs. I've got to show you. I've got to show you. And so we hung there. And they kept spouting their disrespectful sputum at God, agitating God. Can you imagine the restraint? That's why one of my favorite authors says the Lord God himself couldn't take it any longer, so he covered his son up in a dark cloud. What's going on here? It was getting to the Father. And Jesus had to reason with his Father. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They just graduated. They've got badges. They've got credentials. They've got a new figure behind their names. They got new influence. We got to stick this thing through. We've come this far by faith, God. We can't stop now. But then finally, when every sin, hear carefully, was ever committed, that was ever going to be committed, and was being committed at that time, pressed on his shoulders,
Jesus himself felt what the lost will feel, and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's why my favorite author, Ellen White, says in the wonderful book written called Desire of Ages, she says, Jesus died the death of those who will as well as those who will not be saved. I say, for you, he experienced eternal salvation symbolically so that you might have an eternal relationship realistically. The power of the cross is that in a moment when you would expect the great and powerful and all-consuming God to really stick it to the devil, he just spread his arms in love. Hallelujah. And he spread his feet. And he dropped his head. But he knew he had won. And he cried out that famous phrase, it is finished. Did a little transliteration, a little resource, a little deep dive in that orientation. It is finished. You know what it really means? It means, hey, hey, devil, gotcha. You were looking for a mighty demonstration. Gotcha. In my weakest, I'm strongest. In my most vulnerable state, I'm smarter than you. You thought it would be hand-to-hand combat, but instead, it was heart-to-heart destruction. Let me suggest to you right now, you can't outlove God. You can't stand in the power of my love, Ron. I will mow you down with my love. Say what you want, but one day, as elevated as you might be, one day, love is gonna get you. He's a wonderful God. The devil knew it was over. John saw it and he cried out in the 12th chapter of Revelation, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. The devil has come down to you and he knows you've got a short time. I've got good news for you. Just hold on. I know you're going through hell right now. You might be going through some hardship in your health, in your family, you know, in your relationships, in your finances, and even with a monkey on your back in some ways, a stronghold. I know you're going through a tough time, but just hold on. Time's running out, not just for you, but for the devil as well. You ought to be shouting in your spirit right now. Time is running out for that rascal. He knows it. That's why he bugs your path every day, young lady, to make you think that you can't win. Here's the good news. You've already won. Oh, I feel like celebrating Jesus since I'm on the clock and I've got to sit down now. And it's time to eat. Understand, you all got some dinner snacks, so I got to get out of here. Can I talk about them just for 2 or 3 minutes? More than 2,000 years ago, there was a man born contrary to the laws of nature. He laid aside his purple robe for a peasant's tunic. He lived in poverty and was raised in obscurity. He received no formal education, and he possessed no wealth or widespread influence. He never traveled extensively. He seldom crossed the boundary of the country in which he lived. But this man's life has changed the course of history. In infancy, he startled the king. In childhood, he befuddled scholars. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature, walked on stormy waves, and hushed the raging sea to sleep. He healed multitudes without the benefit of medicine, and he never charged a copay. He never practiced psychiatry, yet he healed more broken hearts than all the doctors who ever earned a psychiatry degree. He never wrote a book, yet libraries could not hold all the books ever written about him. He never founded a college. But all the schools put together cannot compare to millions of students who have sat at his feet. He never marshaled an army. He never drafted a soldier. He never fired a gun. Yet no leader ever has seen more rebels lay their weapons at his feet in weeping surrender. He fought no battles, yet he conquered the world. He led no armies, yet we call him Lord. He overthrew no kingdoms, yet we call him king. He committed no crimes, yet they crucified him. He was buried in a tomb, yet he lives right now. He wrote no songs, yet a million composers have written songs of adoration of him. Herod couldn't kill him. Satan could not seduce him. His enemies could not destroy him. Grave clothes could not bind him. And the tomb could not hold him. After 3 days, he rose from the dead. He is alive forevermore. He's a concerto in one word, Jesus. He's a symphony in two syllables, Jesus. He's salvation in a single name, Jesus. A rock in a weary land, Jesus. The giver of every good and perfect gift, Jesus. Hope for the hopeless, Jesus. Faith for the faithless, Jesus. Grace for the graceless, Jesus. The ladder that matters, Jesus. The divider of time, Jesus. You know the problem right now, particularly on this wonderful baccalaureate Sabbath at this beautiful church, the problem the world has with Jesus is that whatever they say, he's just simply unforgettable. Atheists have denied him. Agnostics have reviled him. Skeptics have questioned him. Unbelievers have challenged him, but it's still true. He's unforgettable. The world cannot contain him. Universities cannot explain him. Philosophers cannot reframe him. Poets cannot rename him. He's unforgettable. Parliaments cannot unseat him. Armies cannot defeat him. Beggars cannot deplete him. Computers cannot delete him. He's unforgettable. Prosecutors cannot convict him. Landlords cannot evict him. Democrats cannot predict him. Republicans cannot restrict him. He's unforgettable. Historians cannot erase him. Nazis cannot deface him. Islam cannot displace him. And the Pope will never replace him. What is Jesus after all? Is he just a physical therapist when you can't walk, like I couldn't 24 years ago when the doctor said I would never walk again? What is he, just an oncologist? When the doctors diagnosed me with cancer and God healed me of that cancer, what is he? Is he just a good passenger when you've got a sinking boat? Is he just a grocer when you've got some hungry folk? Is he just a physician when you don't feel well? What is he? He's all of that. But thank God he's more. When I don't have a friend, he's the best friend I could ever find. When I mess up and I can't show my face because I'm embarrassed, he's a robe to cover my shame. He's Adam's redeemed. He's Abraham's sacrifice. He's Isaac's hope. He's Jeremiah's bones of fire. He's Amos's justice. He's Hosea's love. He's Micah's mercy. He's Esther's determination. He's my bread when I'm hungry. He's my water when I'm thirsty. When I get down to my last resource, to my last dime, he steps right in on time. Oh, he's my sacrifice. Time to go home. He's my priest, pleading for my atonement. He's my Shekinah that lights the dark way. He's the veil through which I reach God. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the Savior for any sinner who wants salvation. He's intercessor supreme. He's mediator, redeemer. He's the true source of power. My prayer for myself and for you is that when God provides resources of advancement for us in life, that we'll use power God's way.
Hi, this is Randy McGray, podcast producer and host here at Whole Life Church. Loving people into a lifelong friendship with God is our mission at the Whole Life Church, and our podcasts are designed to help facilitate conversations that help us grow together in that pursuit. Now that you've heard the message for this week, Don't forget to check out the Whole Life Takeaways for this message. Swipe up in today's show notes and join the conversation. Speaking of conversations, each Wednesday morning we take a closer look at the week's message. That's right, the one you just listened to. We discuss practical ways to apply spiritual lessons and ask honest questions about the issues we face as Christians, all focused through the lens of grace. Your voice is a welcomed addition to that conversation. We encourage your thoughts and your questions by sending a voicemail or text to 407-965-1607 or send an email to podcast@wholelife.church. You can find everything podcast related on our website, wholelife.church/podcast. And plan on spending every Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning with us as we bring you the Whole Life Church inspiration you love straight into your headphones. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.